Hello, welcome to the American Pulse. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that seeks to listen, express, and amplify the voice of the American people, no matter where you live in this great nation. We are unabashedly pro-humanity, pro-freedom, and pro-America. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, listeners, and welcome to the American Pulse. Everyone seems to be talking about Doge and what they're doing. I thought I'd share one example that I saw. Senator Elizabeth Warren, she has a salary of $285,000, yet a net worth of, drumroll please, $67 million. Yep, you heard that right. Now, I've been a stock market investor for 25 years, yet I've yet to see a company, a stock, or a way to turn that kind of salary into such an outsized net worth. Not legitimately, anyways. It's not really possible unless you're grifting somehow. And this sort of thing is not just her, but many in Congress. Think about that. A listener sent me a meme that I wanted to share with you, and this really goes out to the liberals who've been abandoned by their own party, and perhaps to centrists who only read the Seattle Times, which of course is full of anti-Trump sentiment. It's from Laser on X, who says, quote, "Hating Trump is just going along with the conformist herd. It's an easy, low-risk, low-return position. Appreciating Trump's leadership means sticking your neck out there, standing for something," unquote. Oho. On this show, we can appreciate this sentiment and still keep the meta-narrative that we are all Americans, as you will hear from my excellent guest today, a retired medical doctor. Enjoy the interview. Today's episode is brought to you by the Renton Printery. From huge outdoor banners to small hard hat decals, the Renton Printery produce top quality, customizable, full color decals, business cards, letterhead, envelopes, signs, table tents, and more. The Renton Printery is a small, independent, veteran-owned business since 1957. For all your printing needs, go to www.rentonprintery.com. And now, on to our episode. My guest today is American Dr. Michael Karbowski. Dr. Karbowski is a retired anesthesiologist and former head of the anesthesiology department at Group Health right here in Redmond. He's also involved at a grassroots level as a PCO in Legislative District 36. Here is my interview with Dr. Michael Karbowski. All right. I am here with Michael Karbowski, Dr. Michael Karbowski. Welcome to American Pulse. It is great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Donnelly. Good to be here.
Yeah, you know, you're a retired anesthesiologist. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, a retired anesthesiologist. You're a precinct committee officer right here in King County in the Legislative District 36. We'll talk about that in just a bit. And the show, we're really just getting it off the ground, and we're wanting to talk to, you know, everyday Americans who are working and to make the county, the state, and the country better. And you and I connected over climate change, which is something that you and I are going to address in a deeper fashion on my other show. But I guess I just wanted to kick off by asking you what kind of, we're a month in, barely, I can't even believe it's only been a month since Trump was inaugurated. Yeah, but it's, yeah, and I guess I just, you know, what has, maybe something that has shocked you a little bit about what has occurred, or people's reaction, like, well, what is something you've been like, whoa? And then on the flip side of that, what is maybe something that you're anxious to see happen, whether it could be the truth about, you know, the vaccines, or it could be more uncovering of the corruption? Like, what is something that you're kind of maybe a little anxiously awaiting its arrival?
Well, I'm shocked, probably like all people, at the speed of what's happening. It's like every day you get up and there's something new, and there's 70, there's already 70 lawsuits against Trump. So it's just trying to keep up all that stuff is crazy.
I know.
What I'm really excited about, I mean, there's stuff like the Panama Canal and Greenland and Gaza and Ukraine war, even Ukraine war, really doesn't have such a direct interest to me as much as, say, the national debt. Our national debt is $37 trillion. Yeah. Every economist in the world say this is unsustainable. Yeah. We now pay more money in our interest on that debt than we do for our military. So I'd like to see Doge really get to work.
Yeah, I don't know what they can do with that. They seem to be stuck. I mean, even I know there's probably a plan, but they just keep printing money, and the money just keeps being devalued. I'm really curious, Michael, about whether there's any gold in Fort Knox, frankly. I don't know whether I don't know. There's some murmurs that they're going in, you know, and I'm like, I'm fascinated. Like,
they haven't audited in years. It's like, what if there's some gold missing? What are they gonna do?
I don't know. I don't know. It seems to be this spiral. It's almost like a controlled demolition right now. Which I'm excited about. I know it sounds, you know, maybe heartless, you know, like, why do you want to see the destruction? But these structures, so many of these structures have been created. They're so corrupted at this point, right?
Yeah.
And
you need a wrecking ball.
Yeah.
What you don't want to do is throw out the baby with the bathwater. That's the biggest threat.
Yeah, exactly. No, what would be throwing out the baby with the bathwater for you? Like, what would be like, what is something that you're maybe a little concerned about?
Well, I think this recent, the county's workers, that they had to put down five things that it did last weekend. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of insulting for a lot of people who are working hard. I think there are some really hardworking, well-meaning people in the government. They're probably working for less money than what they get on the outside.
Yeah.
So it's kind of insulting to them. The thing is that there's now technology to measure people's productivity. It's out there. Big companies don't do this. You know, they used to do it, but.
Yeah, I agree that it would be insulting if I was working hard at one of the agencies and they started to ask me to send them a synopsis. I would probably, knowing my temperament, I would probably be F you as well. you know what I mean? It's just really, yeah. So I hear you.
Yeah.
You know, you and I connected over climate, and man, you have done a deep dive on this whole climate thing that they have pushed on us for a couple of decades now. Yes. And we can't really do a deep dive today because we're saving that for Basecamp, and we are going to do a deep dive. But I definitely wanted to ask you, like, what was the impetus to self-educate yourself? Because a lot of Americans probably just, like, I hear tons of Americans say, I'm no climate denier. You know, I trust the science, you know, that whole kind of thing. Even conservatives with good critical thinking skills, it's almost like they don't want to take the time on climate because they're like, oh my God, I've got enough to deal with. Like, I don't want to do a deep dive, but you did. And what was the thing that had you look, and then kind of like, what did you find out, you know, shortly, I guess. Yeah.
So just trying to be brief, 70% of Americans believe that climate change is causing unprecedented weather events in the country, mm-hmm. and that these events is an existential threat to our environment, to our existence.
Yeah.
So that's not all true. And secondly, the greenhouse gas theory has really got so many holes in it. I don't think it's true.
Yeah.
And so the greenhouse gas says, well, we're all producing CO2, particularly fossil fuels, and that's causing global warming, and that's causing all these weather events. And that's not true either. The third thing is, it's so costly. My gosh, John Kerry had an article in the Wall Street Journal before he retired and said, we need to spend $5 trillion every year for the next 30 years to address this. It's like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
And now California is, you know, trying to sue the fossil fuel industry, blaming them on the wildfires in Los Angeles, which is nonsense.
Yeah. It's almost like each of their pet projects is really a money laundering scam. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the way to take more tax dollars and put it into slush funds. And, you know, on the surface, it looks like they're fighting the climate change, but really underneath it, there's just all these payoffs and people getting very, very wealthy.
We end up paying for all this stuff too. It's like, if they sue the fossil fuel industry, we're going to end up paying for all that. You know, we pay for it in other ways too. Washington just passed this legislature a couple years ago passed this tax on gasoline that's supposed to be cost pennies. And we tried to defeat it last November with the Let's Go Washington, you know, trying to get rid of fossil fuel or natural gas. And the other one was on the penny, you know, we spend on the 50 cents a gallon of gas. It's going to go up every year after that. So this stuff costs huge amounts of money.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know,
And
oh, go ahead.
the last thing is that just like COVID, the scientists who are speaking out against this greenhouse gas theory are getting suppressed. It's just like in COVID, they had the Barrington Declaration where 10,000 scientists signed on and said, no, you shouldn't be giving, all, you should just be protecting the elderly and it's not shutting down the economy. And now they're doing the same thing now with climate change. It's like any scientist who speaks out is getting suppressed. They don't get invited to the IPCC. They don't get any money to do research. It's terrible.
Yeah, we talk. I talked about that. I had a climate scientist on base camp, and she said, you know, they state it like it's scientific consensus, but it's really a small consensus of scientists that they've gathered that are all funded by the same people. So, and then they blare out
Right.
their findings, and they're not true. They're not open to debate. And she goes
That's
behind the,
right.
she says behind the scenes, scientists are constantly debating this, and there is not conclusive evidence on this, you know? And so,
That's right.
and I think most people would be surprised to hear that because they've been so conditioned by mainstream media and academia to say, well, these are the facts, and it's really coming from a small group of people with a loudspeaker, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
So,
like Dr. Fauci saying, if you attack me, you're attacking science. It's like, how arrogant.
I know, I know, I know. You know, you're a local PCO here. So for our listeners that don't know, a precinct committee officer right here in King County, Legislative District 36. And you know, one of the things with Trump winning the presidency is it invigorated the Republican base all over the nation, including, I might add, in this very blue sort of woke state, you know, us in Oregon and California, still not giving up the woke dream and all that. But I think there's a lot of good men and women of all different ages with great values who care about this country, who care about the future and children and all these different things. And I think in our state, good people like this have gotten used to being silent because it felt like we were vastly outnumbered. And it turns out we're not really vastly outnumbered. And in fact, it appears like we're more outnumbered because we've been so silent. And I think that, you know, I guess my question to you is like, what is your message for people that maybe really care, have been sitting on the sidelines because they're like, you know, it's just so corrupt, especially here in this blue state. You know, what would your message be to them that's maybe like, well, it doesn't really matter if I get involved, but I guess I just wanted to hear from you. You've been involved now for quite some time. Yeah, and what would your message be to them as we're looking to grow the party and kind of support everything that's going on in the national level? We want to support it here on the local level so that the two kind of line up and match.
Well, my message then would be don't get discouraged and don't vote. You know, because people get discouraged because they never win, and then so they don't vote, and they don't realize that they're conservatives and people who lean right in the state. In fact, 40% of the people in the state do, but you know, you can't open your mouth, you get shut down. If you try to get on the internet, make a comment, people call you a fascist and a communist and everything else. So you know, you just got to keep doing it and stay involved and vote because there's a thing called proportional representation. This is an idea that if 40% of the state of Washington is conservative, we should have 40% representation in the government. But we don't. We only have 20%. So, you know, a lot of that's gerrymandering, but you know, we just have to keep speaking up and keep voting, even if you don't win.
That's a great
And
message.
also, I always patriot everyone. Patriots come in red and blue. And, you know, we go to a Seahawks football game or a Mariners game, and nobody asks, you know, the Democrats don't sit on one side and Republicans on the other side of the field. We all sit together. Nobody cares. It's like we have so many things in common that more things in common, you know, than we have in differences. We just don't think, how do we get there the same way?
Yeah, that's a great point, Michael. Beautifully said. I really love that, especially the image of being all at a Seahawks game or a Mariners game. You know, you're not asking the guy next to you who's got an American flag on his hat which political party he's part of. You know what I mean? Like he could be the one. It's a great point that there's patriots on the left too, for sure, right? And we can kind of forget that, thinking, well, the American flag is our symbol on the right. But if that's not true, you know, that's really great. You know, you are a retired anesthesiologist, and I didn't hear too many people speaking out about informed choice and the COVID jabs and just that whole COVID nonsense. There was a lack of physicians standing up. And my contention, let me tee it up a little bit better. There was more nurses that were outspoken about informed consent. And when I was talking to people, I kind of realized that the doctors felt like they had too much to lose, particularly ones that were mid-career or even early career. Like, the last thing you probably want to do after spending all that money on medical school and you're only 5 years into your practice is to get ostracized and blackballed because you're like, wait a minute, I'm looking at this. I don't know if I,
yes.
You know what I mean? And so you were in kind of a unique position, is that were you retired already?
Or exactly.
Yeah. So for you, it probably landed a lot different, but what was your take on physicians? Were they just caught between, was it golden handcuffs, or was it just like ideologically they couldn't go against the hospital that they were working with or the insurance company or whatever it was?
So yes, I retired just before COVID hit, and it actually gave me time to study COVID. And also I gave a couple of Zoom meetings on vaccines and COVID. So, that was nice. But I know that when I got on the neighborhood blog and before the vaccines came out, somebody said, people were arguing who should get the vaccine first. And all I said was, well, until you get the vaccine, take vitamin D. There's a lot of good evidence that suggests it's very good to help your immune system. And I got in trouble with the medical board here in Washington. They sent me all these letters saying, oh, you got to keep silent. And so I think a lot of people were very leery to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is happening with climate change now. All the young people, you know, they can't speak out against it. If they say something against the IPC statement about climate change, they don't get any money.
Yeah.
And the same thing with researchers, NIH, Fauci was in charge of all the money. So who's going to speak out and say, oh, we don't agree with you?
Right. I saw a good meme that said 99% of scientists agree with whoever's funding them.
Boy, that's perfect. Yeah.
So, well, Dr. Karabowski, thank you so much for coming on the American Pulse. This was fantastic. It really tees up our episode we'll do on base camp a little later in a couple more weeks. And I'm looking forward to doing a deep dive on climate.
Yes.
Change, truth, myth, nonsense. We're going to really deconstruct it and take a look at it. So I'm really looking forward to it. But thank you so much for coming on to the American Pulse. Really appreciate your time and appreciate everything you're doing at the grassroots level.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our time with Dr. Michael as much as I did. To support the show, please give us a follow on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to your shows. And if you find the show valuable, please go on your phone to Apple Podcasts, find the American Pulse, and click on review. Every positive review helps when you're just launching a new show. Thank you, listeners, and you can find us next week here on the American Pulse.